We continue today with lesson number 36 in our study of Mishnayos Maseches Shavuos. Today we will conclude the 8th perek and begin the 9th perek. We'll begin with Mishnah Yud Aleph, the 11th and final Mishnah of Perek Shemini, and begin with the first Mishnah of Perek Tishii. So Perek Ches, Mishnah Yud Aleph. Merchotz, a bathhouse, Shehusiko, b'seven o b'kash shel shviyas, which was heated with straw or hay which grew during the shviyas year. L'chatchila, it's not permissible to use these products of shviyas for fuel, since tevin and kash, straw and hay, are ma'achal behema, their fodder, food for animals. We learned earlier that the laws of Perek Shviyas apply to ma'achal behema. However, b'di'eved, as we say, if it was used to fuel, to heat a bathhouse or whatever, mutolir chotzpo, it is permissible to bathe in that bathhouse. The Mefarshim say that it's possible that even l'chatchila it's permissible to use kash and teven to heat a merchatz, because a merchatz is tzorech odom, it's for the benefit of a human being. And it is no different from using food which is not ma'achal odom, which is not food for human consumption, but only for animal consumption. But it's permissible to use such food, such plants, such growth, for a malugma, for medicinal purposes. So if you can use it for medicinal purposes, you can use it to heat up a bathhouse as well. V'im mischashevhu. However, if the person is a adam choshuv, Talmud Chacham, and the rabbi of the town, whom people observe to see what he's doing, harei ze lo yirchotz. Such a person should be machmir, should be stricter, and should not use a bathhouse which was heated with kash v'teven shel shviyas. This is the approach which most Mufarshim take. It's in the Yerushalmi, the Rash, the Batanura follow this approach. I'd like to introduce, I don't usually do this, but there's a novel interpretation of this Mishnah which makes good sense and resolves some of the difficulties that the Mufarshim ask upon the commentary that I just explained to you. So I want to share with you what the author of the commentary known as Mishnah Rishona, what he has to say here. He has various questions that he asks, and he says, if it wasn't for the fact that rabbis before me learned a different approach, took a different approach to this Mishnah, I would say that the Mishnah means as follows. If we're in a situation, a region of the country, or a time of the year, when wood, which is normally that which is used for fuel, is wood, and wood, sticks, lumber, etc., fuel from trees, is not available. It's just not there. And therefore, people use teven v'kash, people use hay and straw as fuel. In such a place, since we know that there is no kedusha shviyas upon etzim, upon wood, which is used for fuel, so too, in such a region where there is no wood, there is no kedusha shviyas for teven and kash, because they are like etzim. However, in a place where there's plenty of wooden fuel, so then teven v'kash no longer have the status of etzim, and therefore do have the status of machol behemo, and therefore cannot be used for fuel, because they do have a halacha of Peiros Shviyas. So if we follow this approach, we have an interesting approach to the Mishnah, and that is that if the Eitzim that are Metsuyim, there's plenty of wood around, so that Eitzim, that's what's used for Hasaka, for fuel. So the Teven V'Kasha Machal Behemo, and even Bidiyavet cannot be used to heat a bathhouse, so that the bathhouse would be also Lirchotzbo. At least a Knas, a person used Peiros Shviyas. If we follow this approach of the Mishnah Rishona, we can go further with the Mishnah Rishona, as he himself says. Then the meaning of Yim Mischashevu has nothing to do with whether the person is an Adam Choshev or not. Yim Mischashevu means if the Teven and Kash are considered Chashuvim, straw and hay are needed for food for animals, and are not used for fuel, because everyone is using wood for fuel. So the Teven and Kash have a different chashivus, namely they are fodder for animals, and they're subject to the laws of Kedusha Shviyas. And since you did something also with them, you use them for fuel, then Harei Ze Lo Yirchos. In any case, this is the concluding Mishnah of Perek Ches. Now we move on to Perek Tishii. We learned in the earlier Perokim, in the previous Perokim, that it is not permissible to do sechora, to do business with Peiros Shviyas. But under certain conditions, it is possible, it is permissible for a person to sell some of the Peiros Shviyas which he gathered. For example, he wants to buy meat, so he can take some of the food that he gathers in the field and take it and buy meat with it, sell it to buy meat with. Similarly, if a person bought Peiros Shviyas to eat and he had left over, he can sell the surplus. We've learned this already. We've also learned that a person who sells Peiros Shviyas, the money which he obtains from the sale also takes on Kedushas Shviyas and has the same halacha of the Peiros, that the money can only use for the purchase of substances which can be eaten, or which one can drink them, or they're used for sicha. And we also learned that you cannot pay a debt with the money from Shviyas. You cannot pay the wages to a barber or a bayar or a balon with the money of Shviyas. You cannot purchase avodim v'karkos, a behemot tumeya. All you could buy with the tumei Shviyas are divrei achila, and they have to be eaten b'kedusha Shviyas. For this reason, the Chachamim said that you cannot give the money of Shviyas to an am ha'oretz, because he doesn't know how to conduct himself with such money. All of this is important background, and is summarized, for example, by the Rambam in Hilchos Shmita v'Yovel, who writes, "Kishem she'asur la'asos sechora b'peiros shviyas olis shamron," just as it is forbidden to do business with peiros shviyas, or to watch, to guard, to protect, to keep for oneself, to have a fence around one's peiros shviyas, so too it is not permissible to buy peiros shviyas from an am ha'oretz, because if you buy peiros shviyas from am ha'oretz, you have to give them money for it, and they are not careful with the money, with demei shviyas. Our Mishnah, we're about to study now, wants to teach us that if the Am Ha'oretz sells Peiros Shviyas, which are not cultivated on his farm, but which we know for sure, or 90% sure, that he got these Peiros from Hefker. They were growing in the wild somewhere, growing in the woods, growing out in the open fields, etc. If we know that the Peiros that he's selling are of such a category, that these aren't Peiros which are normally even grown in private gardens, they're wild growing plants of one sort or another, then it is permissible to purchase from him, because these peros do not have upon them the halacha of kedusha shvius. The halacha restricts this, by the way. The Gemara discusses this in Maseches Sukkah, Daf Lamed Tes, and elsewhere, that in these conditions, one should be careful only to purchase small amounts, enough for three meals, kedei chayov, for one day's sustenance. Because in such a situation, we're not concerned that perhaps the money will not be used under the proper rules of Kedusha Shvius. So now our Mishnah lists a number of species of plants which grow wild and are not cultivated in gardens, private gardens. And therefore one can assume that they are hefker. Hapegum, a type of vegetable called pegum, which is translated, I'm following Professor Felix here, who has an approach to all of these plants as to exactly what they are. There is something called in English rue, R-U-E. It's usually known as in other languages as root, R-U-T, R-U-T-E. That is what pegum is. And similarly, hirbuzin hashotim, wild hirbuzim. Some say hirbuzim is something similar to asparagus, which grows wild. V'chalaglogos. Chalaglogos is something which is translated into English as purslane, P-U-R-S-L-A-N-E. Again, a wild growing plant which is edible. Or kuspar shebahorim, kuspar in the mountains, it grows in the hills. Kuspar is translated usually into English as coriander. V'hakarpas shebanahoros, this is a type of celery-like plant which grows near the riverbed. V'hagargar shel afor, gargar which grows in swamps. Gargar is translated to English Latin, according to Professor Felix, as aruca, A-R-U-C-A. All of these are peturim in hamasros, all of the 6 years of the seven-year cycle. They are exempt from maasros because they are hefker. They don't grow in private farms or private gardens. They grow out in the woods and in the hills and in the swamps. And hefker is potter min hamaser. V'nilkochim mikol odom bashvius. And it's permissible to buy them even from an amoretz, from anyone, during shvius. She'ein ki yotze bohem nishmar. These plants are not cultivated in private gardens. They're not nishmar. They're not guarded. They're not protected. No one has a section in his garden with a fence around these wild-growing plants saying, no trespassing. They're wild plants. And since it's not customary at all to preserve them, to protect them, to keep them for oneself, they are becheskas heter, hefker. They're considered hefker, and therefore you can purchase them even from an Am Ha'oretz. The Mishnah continues. She'en ki yotze behem nishmo. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, sefiche chardel. Chardel is a mustard plant, and chardel which grows unplanted. It just grew by itself. Wild seeds all over the place. That fell in the land onto the ground before Shvius, and these sviches chardel sprouted on Shvius. According to Rabbi Yehuda, these are mutar. Shelo nech shedu aleihem ovrei avera. The gezerah of svichin, the reason why we don't eat plants, vegetables, whatever, that grew by themselves during Shvius, is because we're concerned that maybe when we're buying them or purchasing them from an amoretz or from a choshed al hashvius, he's telling you that they're svichim that just sprouted, but really he planted them. Mustard, chardel, is so available out there in the wild, no one cultivates them in his private garden for sale. So therefore, shalonech shedu aleihem ovrei avera. And therefore, Svichei Chardel, according to Rabbi Yehuda, are mutar. Rabbi Shimon comes along and says something astounding to us, and that is, Kol HaSvichin Mutorin. Anything that grows unplanted, it wasn't planted by anyone during Shvi'is. It just sprouted because there were seeds blown there by the wind or left over from Shishis or whatever, are permissible to be bought because they're all considered Hefka, all Svichim. Chutz misviche chruv, except for the svichim of a vegetable called chruv, a cabbage-like vegetable, this people cultivate, and therefore we must assume that it is from a farm which was shamur, which was protected, which was guarded, which was privatized, so to speak. And the reason why sviche chruv. We were so strict about them and assume that they're not hefker but shamur, she'en kiyotze behem biyarko soda. This chruv, whatever it is, something like cabbage, doesn't grow wild out there in the field. It only grows where it's cultivated. So therefore, there is an isur of svichin on sviche chruv, but only on sviche chruv. This is the approach taken by a literal translation of this Mishnah. The Gemara in Maseches Pesachim has a different take on this entirely, which I will not go into here, but it's important to understand this, that although it would seem that Rav Shimon's statement here is a basis for a major, major position in Halacha, namely that all Svichin are Mutorim except for Svichei Chruv. However, in Meseches Psochim, the Girsa is quite the contrary. The Girsa is that Rabbi Shimon says, Kol HaSvichim Asurim Chutz MiSvichei Chruv. And the Chachomim say, Kol HaSvichim Asurim Even Svichei Chruv. So, again, we have to leave that for when we study the Gemara Meseches Psochim, the halachos of Shvi'is, halacha l'maisa. But our reading in the Mishnah is that Rav Shimon gives you a tremendously lenient ruling. The Chachamim Omrim, Chachamim disagree with Rav Shimon, and they say, Kol hasvichim asurim. Anything which grows, unless it's really something which grows out wild in the woods somewhere, anything else, we have to be choshed that the Amoretz or the Choshenol HaShvi'is planted it deliberately in an enclosed garden, in a place that was shamur or meshumar, and therefore we do not eat svichim during the year of Shvi'is. So we have concluded the first Mishnah of the ninth perek, and in the process have completed lesson number 36.